Grace to you and peace from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, of course, all of the words that we just sung are very true, aren't they? And yet there perhaps is within your mind that reflection that I wish for maybe something a bit more positive. Yeah? I remember a old-timey pastor talking about the dirge, right? And that's kind of what the song is that we just have sung. It is a dirge, isn't it? And he came out and he was doing a presentation for other pastors and he said, you should resist the urge to dirge. I remember that very clearly for whatever reason. Perhaps you reflect on, you know, previous employers that you had. What were some of the favorite employers in your past? What was it? Probably not someone who said, right, you're doing a great job. I see a promotion. I see a raise in your future. Now, maybe there's just one or two minor details, right, that we can take care of. But you are doing well. You said, yeah, I love that employer. Right, I love that supervisor. I love the person that was in my work center. That gave that kind of positive encouragement, right? But on the other hand, right, you probably had an employer or some supervisor that you worked for that said, everything you do is wrong. You are this close to being fired, right? And if you don't shape up, there's the door. You're out of here. You say, wow, I really don't like that guy. I don't appreciate that very much. And it really kind of comes back to what we call presuppositions, doesn't it? So, well, that's a big word, and you know what is that? What is a presupposition? Well, you know, if you see me at a party and you know, and we're having a good time, and I walk over to, you know, one of you fellows and I say, have you stopped beating your wife yet? You say, what? And then your mind is kind of stuck because you're thinking to yourself, well, if I say yes, right, then everyone says, well, I'm glad that, you know, he stopped beating his wife, but he used to beat her. That's, you know, kind of terrible. And if I say no, it means I'm still beating my wife. And so I don't even know what to say. Right? Because the presupposition is that you are doing this terrible thing, right? And the question then is, have you stopped? Are you still doing it? Right? You used to do this terrible thing. Did you stop? Do you still do it? Okay, that's what a presupposition is, isn't it? And so, you know, in our lives, you may start to think about what motivates you. What is it that, you know, within you that helps you do better? And of course, you know, we get motivated by the stick at times, don't we? And the stick is, you know, God's law. The stick is that presupposition. You are a sinner. And yeah, that's true, right? We came out, we did our confession. And we did our absolution. We talked, you know, we said the words, you know, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. And yeah, it's true. But it's also kind of like the employer that says, you don't do anything right ever, and you're about this close to being fired, and you know, there's the door. Take a good look at it. Because you're maybe going to see it on your way out. It's like, I just don't really like that. I like that boss that said, you know what, I was doing a lot of things well, and I was on track to get the raise, And, you know, maybe we can make these few little fine-tuning adjustments, and I will be there, right? I will get the extra vacation package, or I'll get the raise, or I'll get the promotion, right? I am on my way, right? That's what we like. And you know what? When we come to the church, the Bible is also full of those kind of, you know, carrot, if you will. I want to get the carrot. The Bible is full of those concepts as well. So I don't know. Well, dear friends, I'm going to share with you once again what some of those are. God comes to us, and of course he says, right, he is our Father. Okay, we've tried to think about that many times in the past, but, you know, once again, leading off with that idea, right, that God says he is our Father. Right, we just let that sink in a little bit. You know, he could have said, as I've explained that, you know, before, right? You probably know what I'm going to say next, right? Yeah, God could have said, you know, I am your slave owner, right? If you fall in line and you stay in line, everything will be fine. But no, he didn't say that, did he? And God could have said, you know, I am the boss. I'm the big boss. Right? Well, you're here working for me. As long as you do what I tell you to, it's going to work out okay. But God didn't say that either. He said he is our Father. Right? He invites us into that kind of a loving relationship. So that you and I, at any moment in time, we can run into God's throne room, and we can jump up on his knee, and we can tug on his gray beard, if that's how you picture God having a beard. We can whisper in his ear, and we can say, you know, Dad, I am having a bad day. Right? Can you help me? We have that kind of access. God is our Father. Right, we don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. We don't have to wait in a big, long line. We don't have to get the proper clearance from his security staff to be able to get in there. Right? We can just walk in. We can get up on his lap. We can tug on his beard. We can mess up his hair. Right? Oh, that's irreverent. But no, he says he is our loving Father. Right? He loves us a lot. Now, you know, unfortunately, in this world, you know, sometimes the things that go on wrong isn't just going to be fixed. And yeah, what do we call that when we go to God, you know, with a prayer of, you know, large importance, and it gets fixed? We kind of call that a miracle, don't we? Because it doesn't happen every day. But yes, some days God will give us a miracle, but other days he will see us through. Right, that's the promise. He's going to be there for us. Right, he'll listen to what's on our heart. He'll walk with us through that difficult time. He'll sustain us. He'll hold us in his mighty arms when our heart is breaking. He will be present. He will be there for us. The loving Father. And you know what? He's never too sick. Yeah, kind of struggling today. He's not too busy. Right? He didn't make other plans. It's not, you know, two or three children in the family, and they're conflicting events taking place, and he's got to choose between one or the other. He is always present. He's always there, always available, right? You know, many of us, we had great moms and dads, but if I you know, pinpoint some certain events, you'd say, well, you know, do you remember when your mom was, you know, too sick to get out of bed and make Thanksgiving dinner? You say, well, oh man, There was that time Mom was too sick. Remember that time when Dad had come to my football game, but he went to, you know, Johnny's soccer game instead? Oh man, he didn't make it to all my games. There were some things. You remember that Dad had to work really hard and he couldn't get off it in time to, you know, come to the 4 o'clock games in the afternoon because, you know, he was still at work and he just couldn't make it. Oh yeah. Remember that. Yeah, moms and dads, they were great people, and they did a lot of stuff, and they came to many of our activities. But God will be there every single time. He's never too sick. He's never too busy. He never has conflicting plans he has to work through. Right? He will be there for us. During the hard times especially. He's going to take care of us. Another, you know, presupposition is that God says, you know, we are His children. We say, oh, that makes sense. You know, He's our Father, of course, and we're His children. But, you know, think about that one. We are His children. A lot of you have had kids, you've watched them grow, some of you have grandchildren even, and you know what that is, that you have that special feeling for, right, your own kids, right? You want them to have good things, and you want them to be accepted. And you know what, as we walk in our Christian life, there may be been, you know, people around you that said mean things to you, or they called you names at times, or they did something that was kind of mean to you, and you said to yourself, you know, I can just let that roll off my back, you know, like water off a duck. Who cares what that other fellow at work has to say? You know, I don't put much stock in anything he thinks anyway, right? They made insults and, you know, they heap things on you and you just say, that's all right. I can go on. But somebody did something to your kid. Wow. I can easily hold a grudge for 10 years over something that somebody did to my kid. Person did that same thing to me. By the next day, I was fine. Everything was good. But, you know, they did it to my kid. 10 years later, I still can bring that up. I can remember that perfectly. And the Lord God says, you are His children. He says for the little guys and gals out there that each of them has an angel that stands around His throne room and they report to Him constantly how that little child is doing. We are His. He cares that much about us to call us His children. He doesn't just say, you know what, you're like the neighbor's kid. Yeah. Kind of care about the neighbor's kids a little bit, but, you know, if they're too annoying, I can always send them home, right? And, you know, what if I was sitting locked outside the house, maybe I'd do a little something to help the neighbor kid, you know? If the neighbor kid is notice that they're in particular need, I maybe would step in and help out. But He says, you are My children. You belong to Me. I care about you that much. That you have worth in God's eyes. Again, what is the presupposition that comes along with that? It is that God loved us so much, He sent Jesus to die for us. Right? The perfect Son of God died on a cross so that I could make it into heaven, so that I could be saved. If anyone out there that you know is struggling with their self-image or their, you know, have the thoughts that they're somehow not good enough, you know, God said, I care about you so much, I'm going to send my perfect son to die for your sin. That's how important you are, right? I'm not sending out the C team, you know. I'm not, you know, gathering the terrible people out of the prisons to send them on the special mission to save you, and I hope that they won't get out of hand or something like that. I am sending the very best to save. I'm sending the guy that was always perfect, that always did everything right, that has never made a mistake. That is the one I'm sending out. And I know that he's even going to die on the mission. I'm sending him anyway. That's how important you are to God. And that he loves you so much. God, furthermore, he says that he has a plan for you. Behold the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future. Plans to give you a hope. Plans for you to have a purpose. Not only is he our dad, and not only did he send the A-team to save us, right? He says he's got a plan for us. If we will but follow him, if we will but live according to his commands, if we will but stay on his path, he has a wonderful plan. It's not just, oh yeah, I kind of have, you know, something in mind. You know, maybe, you know, if you really behave, I'd get you a job at McDonald's. You know, I kind of know the manager over. Maybe if, you know, some things kind of work out behind the scenes, then I get you a job at Taco Bell. No, God says, I have a plan for you. And it's a wonderful plan. And it's filled with days of joy. And there's going to be good things around the corner. That he is that Father who loves you. And he's made a plan for you. And he says things are gonna work out well if you're with him. Now, yeah, maybe sometimes in our lives there's a place for warnings. Right? I can remember I was over in North Dakota, and I was doing a service at a nursing home, and I parked by the side door, you know, and it was only about 10 yards away from my car to the door, and I went in and I did the service, and the service was done, and there were a number of elderly people there. They said, Pastor, it's really icy out. You need to be careful. And I was in my 30s, you know, and I thought, oh, I know how to walk on ice, and I've grown up walking on ice, and plus I have cat-like reflexes still, you know, and if I slip a little bit, oh, it's gonna all be fine. And I stepped out the door, and it was like one of those cartoon falls. Right, my right foot came up above my head when I slipped, and my left foot followed after that. And I was carrying some stuff in both arms. I landed on this elbow, you know, I jammed my shoulder, and there I was laying on the icy sidewalk thinking, I should have been more careful. And so, yeah, you know, in our lives there's that time for, you know, warnings. Yeah? And there's that, you know, time that we would express concern for other people. But yet, if we think about it deeply, right, if I say to, you know, you here today, you know, when you go out into that big bad world, be careful the presupposition is, right, maybe you can't quite handle it. Maybe something bad is going to happen. You know, maybe you're not spiritually in tune enough to detect the dangers out there. Maybe you're somehow not quite good enough, see? If I have to tell you to be careful. But if on the other hand, right, when you're going out into the big bad world, can't be big and bad, can't. And we just close with what our Lord, you know, tells us that we always do at the end of the sermon, that service, right? May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. And then I'm lifted up a little bit more, right? Now my own, you know, children are leaving, you know, home for college and you know, we've all done it, haven't we? Oh, be careful. Because why? Because you might slip on the ice and jam your elbow into the ground, hurt your shoulder. You're maybe not quite as coordinated as you think you are. There's going to be some dangers out there you maybe can't handle. I don't know. You better be careful. That's the presupposition, isn't it? But again, as we close today, we want to understand the, also those presuppositions on the positive side, where God has come and he said to each one of us, I am your Father. I have that relationship with you. You are my child that I love so very much. You are so important to me that I sent the very best one to save you. The one who is always perfect. The one who never made a mistake. The one who never did anything wrong. I sent that one to help you get into heaven. I sent that one to make your life good. Because I want good things for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. I have plans to give you a future and a hope and a purpose. I love you that much, says the Lord. And so, dear friends, we do go out into the world once again. Hopefully today not with the you know, urge to dirge. Although we need that at times, don't we? Maybe when we sin, when we need to be brought back. But we want to go out into that world with that hope and that purpose. And that knowledge that God loves us so very much. Even if we've gone astray, he longs for that day when he can take us in his arms and he can hold our head to his chest and he can shout out to all the universe, my son, my daughter has come home once again. He longs for that. He loves you that much. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in your hearts and minds, now and always. Amen.